Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Abundology Podcast. I'm here today with health coach Erin Vandekooy. Yay! We had coffee a couple weeks ago, maybe it's been a month now, and I had the best time talking to you about health stuff and diets and all that. I learned so much from our conversation, so I'm really excited to talk with you today, Erin.
Yeah, I'm so thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you are welcome. So before we jump into all the good stuff, could you just tell us about how you got started in your health journey?
Oh, sure. I would love to. I've always been interested in health, mostly from a young age, food. I loved cooking and baking, and I became a vegetarian at the age of 11, which was an interesting maneuver. And you learn a lot through that as you go through adolescence. And then in my mid-20s, I was experiencing really severe IBS. I was living in London, England at the time, and everything was being impacted. My work, my social life, I was in a lot of discomfort and pain, really. And I kept going back to the doctors, and they do what they are really great at, which is make a list of possible diagnoses and scary diseases and illnesses, and they start ruling them out one by one. And while I was super excited to keep getting, no, 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 you don't have any of these things, when we reached the end of the list, they sat there and looked me in the eye and said, well, there's nothing wrong with you. I remember walking away from that doctor's appointment thinking, this is who I was hoping and was looking up to help solve this and help me cure this and make me feel better. And now what do I do? And I remember being absolutely devastated, because also that contradiction of, well, how can I feel so awful and be told that there's nothing wrong?
Exactly.
It's very confusing. And so I went down my own health path of figuring out what was happening and why, and a lot of self-education, and managed to work my way through that, and then became obsessed with health and wellness, natural remedies, functional nutrition model. It's been just never looked back since then. There's more, but
So one of the things that I really enjoyed talking to you about was this idea of how in our society, we accept things as normal when it comes to our health. Like, I am 57 and, you know, I'm to this place where I'm starting my life all over. I'm reinventing myself and moving to Montana here in a month.
So exciting.
But a lot of the health things that we associate sometimes are like, oh, that's just age. You know, when you get older, this happens, or that's just my genes. So can you talk a little bit about how you see that show up in your practice?
Absolutely. This is one of my most favorite things to speak about, because I think that symptoms sometimes can kind of sneak up on us. You know, we may have a little bit of psoriasis or eczema, or we may get a little bloated or have some gas after eating, and you know, you just sort of dismiss it and think, it might have been something that I ate. Or one of the things that falls into a lot with clients is when you have achy joints or sore joints, and you think, oh, that's just, you know, part of getting older. And what I like to really speak into is, one of these things you might be easy to dismiss, but after maybe a few months or years, or sometimes even decades, when you have 3, 4, 5, 6 of these symptoms, I mean, your level of normal has sunk, and I say normal loosely, but has sunk so low, and you're kind of just putting up with it because of all these excuses or ideas of why that might be happening. And if we can really tap into what is happening in our body and tune into, you know, what happens when I eat this certain thing, or it could be lifestyle, environment, toxins. I mean, there's so many tiny little things that we can analyze that can make a huge impact on how we're feeling. And trying to catch those little signs that, like, that's our body saying, hey, something's out of whack. And if we can catch those at an early stage before they manifest into that trip to the doctor and saying, you know, I really, really don't feel well now. I've been these small things I haven't really been paying attention to, or maybe I've been paying attention, but just kind of ignoring them because I thought there's not really much I can do about them. And then it manifests into something a little more serious down the line. So it's more of a preventative healthcare routine or regime or awareness around these sorts of symptoms, and figuring out, because we're all completely unique. All of our inside all of our bodies, our digestion, our microbiome are as unique as our outside fingerprints, each and every single individual. So what works for one person might not work for the next person. And so it's really figuring that out in small step-by-step processes.
So that is fascinating. You're saying that the biome, like in our gut, our bacteria and all that is unique to each person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is so fascinating.
Yeah. Well, and it can be impacted, like I say, by things that you may not even realize, environmental or stress, or, you know, a lot of us think our gut or our microbiome or what's happening inside our body is just our food. And I say just our food lightly because our food makes a huge impact. And, you know, it, you may be eating the, what you think is I try to veer away from using healthy and unhealthy, because you might be eating something that you think, or you've read, or you've been told is a really healthy diet, but for you doesn't support your body in the way that it needs to be supported. And that's where things like age and where in the world you're living, you know, are you eating seasonally or not? Does your body, you know, are you hot or cold? There's so many, ways of looking at what our body, our unique bodies need and can use. And it's when we read stuff, this is the interesting thing about the times that we're in right now, is there, we have so much information at our fingertips, the internet, books upon books about this works and eat like this, and which is kind of wonderful on the one hand, and can be really confusing and really frustrating on the other hand, because you make these decisions and you potentially work really hard at maybe a paleo diet or a vegan diet or a blood type diet or a very Ayurvedic diet, and it doesn't work for you. And you're left at the end thinking, well, what am I doing wrong? And why isn't this, why isn't this supporting me?
Yes. I have had the experience. I'm a yogurt eater. I love yogurt. And about a year ago, each time I started eating yogurt, I got an upset stomach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just after, first, as you say, you're like, oh, something else is going on. But then you realize, if you pay attention, that each time that I was eating yogurt, that it was not working for me. So I had to stop eating yogurt. No biggie. You know, the kind of yogurt that I was eating before, I've adapted to a new kind, but.
Oh, good. Yeah.
But it's interesting how your body changes also depending on other things in your life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I like how you said you adapted to a different kind of yogurt, because that's something that I would love to touch on. Sometimes when we think about making these changes or trying out a new way of eating, that it's going to, we're going to lose the things that we love. You know, and some of us are really, you know, there's certain foods that really we're attached to. They make us feel good mentally, emotionally. When we sometimes think about, well, if I'm going to address these symptoms, I need to make dramatic changes that aren't going to make me happy. You know, going back to that balance of how you're feeling mentally and emotionally also impacts what's going on inside of your body and how your hormones are working and how your digestion is functioning. And so being able to find a substitute, adding things in, you know, it's less about taking things out and being restrictive and more about let's add things in and see what we can get excited about.
Oh, right? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. My family grew up eating lots of fruit. We grew up in California, you know, had lots of fruit and veggies around us. And when my kids were younger, each time we went to the grocery store and, you know, we went nice places that helped, you know, Whole Foods and New Seasons and Zupans. They would choose a fruit or vegetable that we had never had before. That was like their thing from the grocery store. So, you know, we didn't eat a lot of star fruit growing up, but boy, trying all these new things was really exciting. And then coming home and how do you cook? We'd have to Google sometimes, like, how do you even eat this thing? Do you eat the skin? Do you eat? Oh, you know, so that was really fun growing up.
Oh, that is such a great idea and such a fun thing to do, even as an adult, and not necessarily things you haven't tried, but go into the produce section and think, what have I not eaten for a while?
Yes.
Right. And if you aren't sure about eggplant or maybe it's radishes, or, you know, it's so easy for us to get kind of stuck on what we know, because it's helpful. It's convenient. If we know we like it, then we gravitate towards buying those things. But one of the best things that we can do for our body is biodiversity and variety. And we can do that by just even going to the grocery store and saying, what colors have I not eaten recently? Or what have I not tried? And that's when Google really comes into great effect, because you can Google, you know, starfruit, what can you make with starfruit, and come up with a fun dessert with your kids. Or, you know, I haven't eaten zucchini for a while, so what's a zucchini, I don't know, soup, yes, or stir fry, or, you know, lack of a, and sometimes you can put a few ingredients in. Sometimes I'll just do, you know, sweet potato, zucchini, and I don't know, red pepper, and see what recipes come up, and you can try something that way as well.
That's a good idea too. I love that. Yeah. It's one of those, what do I have in my kitchen? You know, I have a potato and a bell pepper and mushrooms, and Google, you know, a new recipe. I love it.
Yeah. And I was just thinking back to the yogurt thing as well, and want to touch on, you know, there's no, for each of us, there's no right or wrong or good or bad. There's only what works for us individually. And so if you can think that way, you can take a lot of the judgment out of, oh, I'm doing it wrong, or I'm eating something I shouldn't. Or, and then when you have that replacement help, you can still keep that joy and that spark and excitement around the food. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that I remember from talking to somebody years ago was about the vibration of food. And, you know, I love the law of attraction, and that's what I do, but it was about how you felt about the food. So if you were eating chocolate cake, let's just use that. And you felt like, oh my God, this is horrible for me. You know, I shouldn't be eating this. Then it affected you so much worse.
Yes. 10 million times worse
than
because of the emotional, mental, physical, physiological connection.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. That is such a hot point.
You embraced chocolate cake, like, oh my God, this is the best chocolate cake, and I'm going to enjoy every single bite of it. Two completely different responses from your body.
Yep.
Fascinating.
Isn't that incredible? Well, I'll give another little example about that. I was traveling just before COVID, actually, with my dad in China. And before I left, I had been diagnosed with candida. This was obviously a few years back. And so I was on a really restrictive diet because I was determined to clear this candida out of my system. And I had done a couple of months really, really well, and then went away on this travel trip with him. And a couple of days in, I thought, this is nuts. I can't speak the language. I can't read. None of the menus are in English. And I'm going to be worried if there's vinegar in this, or if there's, you know, wheat in my soy sauce. And of course, I could avoid the obvious things, like bread products obviously had gluten in them. But when it came down to asking all those questions that I would be able to ask at home, I just said, you know what? I'm here for a month with my dad, and I'm going to let it go. And I tell you, it was when I came back, and now, of course, I couldn't have continued eating that way. And even if I was thinking, oh, the food's amazing, it wouldn't have worked long-term for me, but it was so neat to see the difference of if I had eaten that way at home, thinking the thoughts of this isn't great, compared to being euphoric every day, traveling with my dad in this new country and just kind of giving myself that grace. My digestion was not nearly as upset as I thought that it would be. And I still managed to stay on that path. So there really is something there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's so fascinating.
Food.
Oh, yeah. The energetics of food. I know.
Man, you just opened up a rabbit hole. It's the same with herbs, because I'm a practicing herbalist, and I say herbs because I'm Canadian. Oh. And people here make fun of me because they say, who's her? And I go, oh gosh, yeah, I'm saying it in the funny way. But there's a whole energetics behind herbs and plants that we can incorporate into our diets as well, which is really fascinating. So that's
so fascinating. Yeah, yeah. You know what? You'll have to come back for another show
herbs. I always thought that herb sounded kind of illegal until now it's not anymore.
Okay,
where's the herb at?
Now, what is leaky gut? I have heard this now multiple places, and I just do not know what leaky gut is.
Good question. Well, to sum it up in easy to think about terms, we have this gut lining in our intestines, and there are small gaps there that allow allow what needs to go through to go through. Now, when we have leaky gut, those gaps are a little bit bigger, and sometimes food particles can enter into the bloodstream, and the body attacks that like invaders. It causes inflammation and all sorts of downstream symptoms and repercussions from that. Now, depending on where we're at in how our system is functioning, our the balance of our functioning system, that we can have, you know, those gaps can go a little wider or a little closer. And most of the time, if we eat something that's going to trigger a little bit of leaky gut, they'll heal right away. Now, if we're on a little bit of a, you know, we're kind of full up, we have a lot of stress in our lives, we're eating foods that aren't supporting our body, we're not getting enough sleep, what have you, might be happening. Then when that leaky gut occurs, it doesn't repair as quickly. And now we're having all of that stuff entering our system.
And I can't even imagine what do those symptoms look like?
It can manifest in literally
anyway. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, autoimmune illnesses, a lot of inflammation, even things like headaches, skin rashes, bloating. I mean, like we were talking about the uniqueness of our bodies earlier, it can literally manifest into any kind of discomfort or malfunction in the entire system. It's really different for each individual, which is why it's kind of hard to diagnose, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. So are there some things that we can do that to, I don't know, not get it, repair it?
Well, you know, I could give you a couple of things to think about that the listeners could actually do right away without having to go, you know, speak with someone or buy anything or that would really support. So it's your digestive tract. So what would really support your digestion? And the first thing would be to chew your food. Now, it sounds really simple. A lot of us can tend to sometimes eat really quickly, depending, you know, if it's a lunch break, where the meal is, what meal of the day it is, etc. Maybe you have kids, and so your meal is really quick while you're taking care of the kids and the family. Our body produces digestive enzymes in different places in our digestive system, they actually start producing when we see and smell food. So if we're cooking, while we're cooking and smelling and seeing this deliciousness, our body is instantly starting to produce those enzymes. Now, if you've grabbed something from New Seasons and you haven't cooked and smelled it before, where that digestion would begin is in your mouth. So when you're cooking, or if someone is cooking for you, which is lovely, and you're smelling and seeing, they kind of start, that's the first place. And the second place would be your mouth. If you're not smelling and seeing, the first place is going to be your mouth. So those digestive enzymes in your mouth, either way, are the starting point of how you can help your beautiful body and your digestive system kick into gear. So chewing your food as much as you can. I had someone ask, how do you even chew oatmeal? And I said, it's possible. Like, you can really chew everything that comes into your mouth. And that's going to start that digestive process so that when it gets down into your stomach, that continues and your nutrients are, because my Ayurvedic coach says to me, she's amazing. And she says, her name's Susan Bass. And she says, we are not, there's a saying, you are what you eat. And she says, that's not true. You are what you can digest. So if we're eating organic and, you know, we've figured out what foods really, really support our body, and we're eating them in a system that's not digesting them correctly, or we have a little bit of leaky gut, then it's not going to support us in the way that we're hoping, even if we're cooking fresh food, all of that. So chewing would be the first and most easy. And, you know, there's different ways you can play around with it. If you eat with people, you can make a competition of who finishes last.
Oh, I like that. Know? That's cute. And yeah, especially doing that's going to be great with your kids. Yeah.
Whoever finishes first has to do the washing up or something like that. Another way to support your gut is eating whole nutrient dense foods. So not processed. There's another funny saying, if you eat food that's created by a man in a coat, you're probably going to go see a man in a coat, which is a little dark.
But that is brilliant. I love the visual on that. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's powerful.
I mean, Renee, the thing that is so nuts to me, and I say this on, you know, some of my group programs and my calls, and you know, people giggle and laugh at me, but when you hold and look at a piece of broccoli and you think, I'm going to put this in my face, and it's going to turn into a fucking eyeball or a nail, or it's going to help my teeth or my bones grow. I mean, doesn't that blow your mind?
Yes.
It is such a miracle. It is such a miracle to think about how our bodies can do what they do. So if you're going to eat things that are filled with chemicals or e-numbers or colorings, or they've been infrared or zapped, or I mean, some of our food has been radiated. I mean, it's crazy. So when you see all that stuff on the grocery store shelves, you want to sort of stop and think, do I really, like, is that going to turn into my hair or my skin or my heart? You know, is it going to support my body in this way? And I'm not saying don't ever eat, you know, anything processed ever, because that would be difficult. And, but just be aware that the more nutrient dense, and when I say nutrient dense, this is a term that I throw around a lot. And if anyone is unfamiliar with this term, it's the difference between eating, let's say a piece of white bread, for example. So it's bleached. Like, do we want it right there? Do we want to eat something that's been bleached? All right. Well, I won't go in much further, but let's say bleached white flour, right? And probably sugar. And sometimes some of those oils that aren't so good for us. So you take that bread and you're going to make your breakfast with that, with some, you know, almond butter or bananas or whatever. And then you take a piece of bread that has, sesame seeds and pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds, and maybe even it has chia seeds, who knows, but it's been made with rich rye or wheat or spelt or some kind of lovely unbleached, hardly processed grain. Or they have breads now that have sprouted grains, which is even better, because that's when you take the grain and you wake it up, it actually starts to grow, and then they turn it into bread. And we know anything growing, vegetables, fruits, these whole foods, that when we put that into our face, into our bodies, that that's going to support our living, growing, amazing beings. So I went off on a tangent there.
But we needed to hear it, Erin.
Whole food, nutrient dense is the way forward. And that's the type of thing that's going to heal your leaky gut and support your digestion for sure.
So go on. Quickly before you go say to the next thing, when I was in college in microbiology, we grew cancer cells, and we grew them on Wonder Bread. So if that's telling you anything right there, that was our medium for growing them. White Wonder Bread. I know. So
it's so creepy.
It is. But if you think about it, it's the perfect place for, I know. So there's no way I'm eating that.
And, you know, I would like to add, there's no judgment here and to just in the note, the good, bad, right, wrong aspect again, and to know that with marketing, we are up against the marketing companies telling us, you know, we have cereals that have added vitamins and, you know, and then you check the sugar content and you think, my goodness, if I started my day off with like that, my blood sugar is, I'm going to be on a roller coaster all day, but yet, you know, your eyes see added nutrients, added vitamins, and you think, oh, they've created this product that's going to give me good things. So, you know, it's very easy to be duped in or tricked into things on a marketing scan in the grocery stores. So just a quick thing on that, I would say avoid anything that's low fat. We need and want all the fat. And usually if they've pulled the fat out, they've stuffed it full of processed sugar or corn syrup or things that, like I say, will really affect your blood sugar throughout the day. So I think once your eyes are open to that a little bit and you're in the grocery store, and even just talking about the bread, if you really like the text, like some people, it's about texture or it's about how it toasts, or so you could go, but there's always an alternative, always. So you could go to a fresh baked sourdough that's still kind of like a white bread, but you've got that fermented starter that's going to do all sorts of goodness for your insides. And so it's just knowing these things, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, again, another tangent.
So let's talk a little bit about an elimination diet, because I know that's one of the ways that you can kind of determine what things are affecting your body.
Yeah. So an elimination diet typically is pulling out most of the, or all of the known trigger foods. Now, known trigger foods can be, not for everyone, gluten, dairy, sugar is kind of a known trigger food for inflammation, et cetera. And again, it's not about living a completely sugar-free life. You know, it's about finding that balance. I listened to your podcast yesterday and talking about the balance. I loved it so much. So finding that balance and what a lot of them will do as well. And what I do in mine is taking out caffeine, just because that can maybe, cover up if we're not as in tune, if we're on a bit of a caffeine high as to what's actually happening in our bodies. And then you slowly reintroduce these foods one by one and listen to what's happening in your body. So an elimination experience is really good for, you know, if someone has thought, for example, for me, I thought I was gluten-free, but it wasn't really ever like gluten intolerant, I should say, wasn't ever really confirmed. And so I would do it most of the time, but if I was with friends and there was a nice dessert, I would eat the dessert. And I did this back and forth for 8 years. 8 years, yeah. Which is maddening, because imagine all the time it takes to think, well, gosh darn it, I ate that cake and now I'm a terrible person and I'm going to feel bad, but you don't really know. So if you're on the fence and you think like yourself with the yogurt, right? Am I dairy intolerant? Or with dairy is a neat one, because you could be intolerant to certain types of cheeses or yogurt and be able to eat other ones, no problem. So dairy in itself could be broken down into quite a few different categories and tested. Eggs are another pretty known trigger food. And it's interesting because sometimes with clients, they'll be eating eggs every single day. And I'll say, you know, just out of curiosity, I wonder what it would feel like not to eat eggs. And they would go, oh, well, what's wrong with eggs? But I eat them every day. I'm sure they're fine. And not all the time, but sometimes we pull them out and the difference is dramatic. And so what doing this all at once does is it really allows you to, because you have that clean slate with your digestion and with your belly. This would be another thing that would be great for leaky gut. It's great just generally for a reset. And also then for having knowledge. And the more that you refine that knowledge about how foods are affecting you, the easier and better it is for you to be able to make empowered choices. Instead of saying, you know, I can't have that, you get to say, well, I could have that. Do I have, you know, an 8 o'clock interview tomorrow morning? Maybe don't want to be having an upset stomach at that time, so not today. Or, hey, it's Saturday tomorrow. Sure, I'm going to eat the cheese tonight. You know, and you have that empowered choice rather than it being this restrictive. I know a lot of people struggle with even the idea of not eating gluten or maybe some forms of dairy or sugar. And I would like to say to that is it doesn't have to be all or nothing. And when you can connect more. So for example, me again, when I actually did find out that I had an intolerance and I saw how much my life and body improved when I was off the gluten, it was a no-brainer. And I don't even think about it anymore. You know, there'll be an occasion where a croissant will get me and then I'll eat it and I'll think, yeah, because what gluten actually does to me, and this is fascinating, it's not just a physiological thing. I get grumpy.
Fascinating.
I get grumpy. Yes. The next day. And I think, why am I mad or grumpy or moody? I'm like, oh, I ate that damn croissant yesterday, you know?
That's so interesting how, yeah. You know, we think it's just going to be how we feel, but it's our emotions are tied in that too. I know years ago when I had a commute back from work and my husband would always pack me a snack for the ride home so I wouldn't come home grumpy, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, that's blood sugar.
Totally. So basically you're just removing everything from your diet and then adding things back in, I'm assuming one at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you wait 2 to 3 days and really sit and the neat thing about this is it's a skill that you start to learn and then you it's a tool in your toolbox moving forward. So it really allows you to connect with your body. You know, do I have a slight headache or am I feeling a little grumpy today? And it might not necessarily be the food. So you have to really think like maybe I'm grumpy because I'm starting my period and I know I get grumpy before my period, or maybe something annoying happened, you know, and that refining, like I like to call it, really helps for us to get to that place of empowerment. So yeah, 2 to 3 days. You can do this in a variety of different ways. The whole 30 is another sort of way style, something that you could try that really aligns and with the elimination experience as well. I call, so my spring program, I had so much incredible feedback that they said, Erin, you can't use the word elimination. And this isn't just about eliminating foods. They said, and of course they said, not they said you can't, but they said they would recommend, because this is about a reconnection with one's body in a way like I've never experienced. Mm. And the thing that, and I feel like I've been saying this, it might be a theme throughout this conversation, is that there's no judgment, and there's no right or wrong. Sorry, just lost my train of thought.
That's okay. We totally get it. No good or bad, no right or wrong. You know.
Yeah, yes. I think that we think that this sometimes thinking about eliminating foods, we think this is going to be hard, and having tasty food that you are genuinely excited about, that are these whole nutrient dense foods we're speaking about, I think is the way to do it. And so I've changed the name to Uniquely Nourished Food Intolerance, so that we can get our detective hats on and figure that out.
Yeah, that's really cute. What I also love about this is it's shifting your energy. It's shifting your energy from almost being helpless and a victim and I don't know and I can't eat gluten to empowerment.
Yes.
Where I know what I can eat and I'm making the choice, two completely different types of energy and ways of looking at your body, which of course then has to help everything else that's going on too with that energy.
Energy, like you were saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And there's no embarrassment. You know, if you're at a restaurant and you ask if something's gluten-free, you do it from a place of power. It's not this, pain in the butt, or I failed at something. It's no, you've actually succeeded. Look at you taking control over how you're going to feel. Yes. You know, I don't want to feel grumpy tomorrow. I want to feel, you know, happy. And
yes, taking control of your life and empowering yourself. Just another way of doing it through eating. Now, I know that you have a class coming up where you're doing not the elimination diet, but better wording of the elimination diet.
Yeah, it's called Uniquely Nourished Food Intolerance, and it's a 6-week group program. So for the first week, we slowly cut down things because we don't want to completely eliminate from the get-go, or you could have, you know, caffeine withdrawals, and those can be intense. So we do it really slowly. And then we have 2 weeks of eliminating the known trigger foods. And like I say, that is packed. You have meal plans packed full of really exciting fun. And I think this is the piece with the feedback I got in spring of them saying, you know, I didn't realize that planning would make everything so much easier and get me excited about food, even when I'm not eating all of these foods. I mean, that just seemed kind of a crazy combination. And that's what happens. And then we slowly reintroduce over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And every person is different. I have a few coming back from the spring program in this fall program, which starts next week on Tuesday, the 28th. And for them, they're getting into that real refining stage because they've already figured out a few, but they want to now break down dairy, for example, a little bit more. So for some people, it will take right up to the end of the 6 weeks. For others, you might finish at 4 or 5 weeks. But the group accountability and doing it in a group setting, we have weekly calls that are an hour and 15 minutes with a little bit of a buffer for some Q&A. You have access to me on email, and we have a WhatsApp thread that's very active throughout the whole 6 weeks, sharing recipes, sharing photos of food, sharing our ups and our downs. You know, sometimes some of those, you know, caffeine withdrawals or sugar withdrawals can be something. So when you have the support of a group and then the group coaching, it's a lot of fun
and empowering. It's things where, you know, at the end of 6 weeks, you're going to be so much more empowered about your life and your food and your eating and your health.
Yeah. Well, and take us full circle back to that level of normal we were talking, you brought up at the beginning, you know, symptoms that you've dealt with for decades vanishing, you know, and that is so liberating and freeing. And so if you know, upset digestion, skin, those are a lot of the classic ones, headaches, sleep, mood, a lot of that clears right up. And then you get to have this clean base to start moving forward from.
I love that. And you have graciously offered Abundology podcast listeners $100 off.
Yeah.
Thank you. Using the coupon code POWERFUL. And correct. I will put a link to sign up for that in the show notes. Also a link to your website so people can get in touch. You are just lovely. I learn so much from you every single time I talk with you. So thank you for coming on here and sharing all your wisdom, Erin.
I'm so honored to be here. Really, truly, I adore your podcast and the work that you do. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'm serious about you coming back and talking herbs. To us about the herbs.
I would love to. Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Thank you. Bye.